Yeah, welcome to One Heart. If you're new to One Heart this morning, great to have you here. And I pray that you get even more out of this service as we go along and get into God's Word together. Pastor Rob and Pauline are away in Melbourne at the ACC AGM and a summit over there. And they're away at the moment. Pastor Pauline will be back next week, I believe, and Pastor Rob is on a hunting trip as of today, I think. So pray you get heaps of deer or pigs or whatever you're going for in your hunting trip. And yeah, so that's where they are at the moment. So you've got the pleasure of listening to me for a short amount of time. Right, so if you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 to 4. And we're going to talk about the scriptures today, about the Bible. So, Lord, we just bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, we want your word to transform us. We want your word to get inside of us, God, and we want, Lord, to know you deeper. And we want to walk with you, Lord, in a way that brings us joy, brings us the fruit of the Spirit, and, Lord, is right and good. Lord, that's your design for your word. So, God, we pray and thank you that it will get into us today and change us in a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, just before I start, I'll just one thing Pastor Kimberly didn't mention was that, you know, when she was decluttering, she actually bought a heap of new stuff. And so the decluttering, I'm going somewhere with this, to get, you know, God has something brand new and better for us, but to get that into our life, we have to get rid of the old shabby stuff, the broken stuff, and give it to the bargain centre. No, I'm only joking. It wasn't. It was in quite good condition. Thank you, Pastor Kimberly. But, and you know, with the Bible, you know, it's such a great thing, an awesome thing that God wants to put into our lives. But often we've got so much clutter there that we can't fit it in. And it's like he's saying, get rid of some of the old clutter and junk, and make room for this. Make room for this, which is way better, and it's gonna make your life so much more enjoyable and pleasant. So, 1 Corinthians, you'll see the connection with this slide. I think that's an AI generated image that seem to be popping up everywhere at the moment. You'll see the connection in this verse. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the scripture is a kind of a bit of an old school word, but a scripture is everything contained. I've got my original Bible here. In the Christian Bible, in the Word of God. It's given to us by God for life, for teaching, and for our well-being. So life is as simple and complicated as this book here. You don't want to try and make it any simpler than this, what's in here. You don't want to try and make it any more complicated than what's in here. And, you know, we're in a time, I mean, he always has, but Satan is attacking the scriptures with such an intensity at the moment. You know, he knows that this, what is contained in the Word of God is powerful, that it shows the way of salvation, that it transforms lives, that it makes our lives so much better, and he doesn't want that in people's lives. And so he's on the attack. He wants to discredit the Bible. He wants it to be irrelevant. He wants it to be even called hate speech, which is ironic because the Bible is love speech. It's God's word given to us in love to guide us in the right way. And so he wants people to stay away from it. He wants to distract the Christian from ever reading it or studying it. You know, he's probably not too fussed if you have a token look now and again, but he doesn't want it to get into our lives and transform our lives. And so we're going to look at a few. I've just got a heap of, there's so much more. I just had to stop because I was just getting too many, but we're going to look at what the scriptures are. The scriptures are accurate. So every prophecy that is in these scriptures, these are written, however, some scriptures thousands of years ago. Every prophecy in this Bible has come true or will come true in the future. The Bible is an accurate account of the past and tells us clearly what is to come. So if you want to know where the world's heading, read your Bible. The ending is already in there of what happens, and we're heading towards that ending closer and closer each day. If the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, then we can be sure that he did. If the Bible gives account of Jesus and the disciples' lives, then we can be sure it is an accurate account. If the Bible says Jesus is coming back, then he surely will. So he came once and he's coming back again. The scriptures are eternal. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. He had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." If we can go to the next slide, please. Fumi, thank you. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." So we can invest our time, as Martha was, in the temporary realm. There's nothing wrong with making dinner for someone or making tea, that, you know, serving someone in hospitality, that's great. But Jesus was speaking, and it wasn't the right moment for her to be doing that. She should have been listening. And heaven and earth will pass away. Everything we see in this created realm, the Bible says, is going to be burned up. So our houses, they'll be destroyed. Everything in this planet will be destroyed. There'll be nothing left of it, but Jesus' words will never, ever pass away. So he's saying if you invest in that, you're investing in an eternal investment that you'll have forever. He's saying that is a good thing to invest into. That won't be taken away from you because you have it now, you have it in the next life, you have it for all eternity. The scriptures bring life. John 6:63. "It is the spirit which quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." You know, people talk a lot. We like to talk a lot. And we're getting bombarded with all sorts of stuff that people are saying, bombarding our eyes, you know, and our ears. And a lot of these words don't profit us. They're words of the flesh. And it says, Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. But Jesus' words are alive and they can make us come alive if they get into our ears and eyes and into our heart. They'll bring spiritual life and they'll also sustain and develop our spiritual life. The scriptures are our guide. Romans 12:2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." A lot of people will try and give you advice in life. They'll tell you to do this and that or the other, and that's fine. But first and foremost, this is what we conform to. This is the pattern of our life. So if what someone is telling you doesn't conform to this, then throw it out. It's got to conform to the word of God. This is our first port of call to live by. And you know what? Everything in that is about life is contained in here. It talks about money. It talks about how we talk. It talks about relationships. It talks about serving. It talks about, you name it, eternal life. It talks about everything you can think of in your life. This will give you the answer. This will give you the direction to take. The scriptures are our judge. John 12:47-48. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him in the last day. So our lives will be judged according to the scriptures. So it's important that we heed or come into alignment with the scriptures. And we might not like it. There's stuff in here that you read and you're like, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Or I want to do this and I don't want to stop doing it. There's things in here, but it's for our benefit to make those adjustments, and it will cause us to live a better life. We'll be more at peace. We'll have more fruit of the Spirit. We'll be more at rest because, you know, when we get to heaven or when we come, you know, the Christian passes from judgment into life, the Bible says. So if you've given your life to Christ, you pass from eternal judgment into life. But nonetheless, we will be judged according to the scriptures of how we've lived and rewarded accordingly. And so the more we line up with this word, the more our reward will be. So the scriptures equip us. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that verse. It says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Narelle and I have been doing some house renovations, and you know what? There's different work that you've got to do on the house, and it's great if you've got the right tool for the right job. You can be equipped to do that job. So if I need to hammer in a nail, it's handy if I've got a hammer to do that job, because that tool equips me to hammer the nail in. I could do it with my hand, but it would probably hurt a lot. I could try and get a lump of wood. I might be able to bash it in a bit. It might do it, but no, there's a tool, a specific tool for that job. And every other job, there's a specific tool for. And it's not just equipped. Like I was, for the start there, I didn't have a power saw. All I had was just a handsaw. And so all the timber I have to cut, you know, I'm cutting away. And, you know, it did the job. But then Kyle said, the guy I work with at the bargain centre, he said, hey, do you want to borrow my power saw? And so, yeah. And man, zipping through it, way quicker, straighter cuts, way easier. And so I was equipped with the saw, but I wasn't thoroughly equipped. And so you might face situations in life and you'll be like, yeah, I can sort of deal with that, but Jesus wants more than that for you. He wants you to go, you know what, I can deal with that very well, very efficiently and effectively, because he hasn't just equipped me, he's thoroughly equipped me for every job. And so no matter what situation we face in life, we'll either be equipped for it through the scriptures and do well or exceedingly well, or ill-equipped for it and botch up the job. The scriptures are not to be changed. Revelation 22, 18 to 19. For I say to every man who has ears, to whose ears have come the words of this prophet's book, if any man makes an addition to them, God will put him on him the punishments which are in this book. And if any man takes away from the words of this book, God will take away from him his part in the tree of life and the holy town, even the things which are in this book. And so this doesn't mean that there's only one specific translation and all the rest are heresy and wrong and bad. Because the fact is that every single English translation has been adjusted from the original to suit the English language. And so they had to make adjustments. What it's saying here is don't change the essential meaning of what the Bible says. Don't change the essential meaning of it. And you know what? There's certain religions out there that change the essential meaning of the Bible. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. I met this guy years ago. And I was like, yeah, cool. And I had a good old yarn to him about Jesus and the Bible and God. And it was, you know, we were going swimmingly, as they say. I thought, oh, this guy's a great guy. And then we got to this part. And it's like, I said, oh, so do you believe Jesus is God? And he goes, no. I believe he was a God, but he's not God. God. I said, oh, that's interesting. So John 1:1. And he goes, yeah, well, in our Bible, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they added one little letter. Changes the whole Bible. It totally destroys the whole Bible by adding one letter. Because it means that Jesus isn't God. He's a God among many gods, but he's not the God. And so this religion has broken down the entire structure by adding one word. They've changed the essential meaning of the Bible. And you know what? That will take you to eternal destruction if you start doing that, as Revelation says. The scriptures are not to be overridden. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he's not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And so this religion, as religion goes on over the years, tradition starts to overtake the word of God. And I'm sure you could probably think of some, Christian, inverted commas, Christian traditions that actually annul the word of God. And Jesus is saying, watch out for that. Don't let your tradition annul the word of God or supersede the word of God. And so lastly, the scriptures are not just for show. Matthew 23:1. You can go right through to 39. We won't, because for the sake of time. But he said, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide, whatever phylacteries are, and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and have men call them rabbi. And he goes on and on about, you know, he rips into them. You read on the rest of that. Jesus is just both barrels at these guys. And he's doing it because they're confusing people. He says, you're stopping people going to heaven And you yourselves are going to hell, and you're making your disciples even twice as bad as you are. And he rips into them about this, because they were, he says in Mark 12:24, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? And so Jesus says to stay away from people like that. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. And so don't be among the religious who don't even actually know the word of God and don't know the power of God either. They don't have the Spirit, and without the Spirit, it is just dead religion and tradition. And so if the music team can come back, please, that would be great. And so we'll go back to the first verse that we looked at, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And it says this is the first, this is of first importance. And so when we want to conform ourselves to the Bible, the first thing, the first most important thing is to say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, make me born again. Make me come alive to you. And you know what? If you haven't done that today, that's of first importance. You need to be saved. You need the Holy Spirit to come in you and the Word of God to come alive to you. And that's the first of first importance. And so would we stand together this morning as we finish? You know, there's ways, I don't know about you, but I think everyone, you know, I think a lot of people, or many of us here today would be thinking, you know what, I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should. Maybe I'm not reading it at all. Or I know that I should be in it more. You know, it's, we know it, but, and you know, and we can often make a decision. You know what, I'm gonna do this and that, and I'm gonna change that. But so often it goes on month after month, and it doesn't change. We're just stuck in the same patterns. But Jesus is saying, you know, come back to your first love. There's a verse in Revelation about the church in Philippi, and he's saying you're doing good stuff. You know, you're serving, you're doing this stuff, and that's great. But you've lost your first love. You know, I was thinking about that and I thought, what was my first love after I got born again? You know what it was? It was this. This was my first love. I remember for weeks and weeks, months after, I'd just be reading this, just all day, just regularly. I mean, not all day, but just regularly in the scriptures and going through Psalms and like, wow, how awesome is this? It's unbelievable. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Come back to your first love. Come back to that love of the scriptures that you used to have, that love for the word of God that you used to have. And get rid of some of this clutter. You know, there's so much content we can consume nowadays. And he's saying, you know, get rid of some of that clutter and input this word into your life and see what it does. And so, if you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. Ask myself, Pastor Josh, Pastor Kimberly, we'll get you a physical Bible if you want a physical one. You get them on the apps on your phone. There's an audio Bible. You know, put the audio Bible on when you're driving your car, when you're doing some work around the house. You know, get just whatever you got to do, just get the Word of God into you. We're starting a new, if my lovely assistant can bring up those pamphlets. We're starting a new word for today. It goes for May, June, July. Starting, it's only just a few days gone. Start with that or get into that. There's an adult version. There's the V180, which is the youth version. I'm sure the adults can read that. You're not prohibited, but it's designed for the youth. There's the bite-sized Bible, which is designed for families to go through the Bible together. you scan a QR code, it takes you to watch something, and then you go through the scripture verses. All these books are in the foyer if you want one as you leave. The word for today you can get in an app. And so I want to encourage us all that Jesus is saying to us today, you know, get back into your word or study it deeper than you have before, because it's going to change your life for the better. And so let's pray as we finish. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us such clear revelation, such clear understanding in your word. And Holy Spirit, we pray, God, we can't do it ourselves. God, we can have good intention, but it doesn't really result in action. But we pray, Holy Spirit, this morning, that every person here, God, that wants it, God, that is saying, yes, I want to get that in me. I want to know more. I want to understand more. I want my life to be conformed more. God, we pray for every person that's thinking that right now. God, I ask that you would fill us with your strength and with your power. God, and we'd just find, hey, I couldn't do it before, but I can now. I'm getting this into me. I'm doing it in the morning. I'm doing it in the evening. I'm getting up at lunch. I'm reading it. I'm getting it into my life. And God, I just thank you that as we do that together as a church, God, that you're going to do amazing things in us individually, and you're going to do amazing things in us and through us as a church body, God. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.